The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
You're calling it partly sunny. I'm calling it partly cloudy.
I knew you would. Yeah. In fact, the weather service says it's mostly cloudy. But you know what? I'm looking for the positive today. And I'm finding it in the weather.
Okay. Yeah, that's the only place we've had any positives lately, because this has been a mess around here the last several weeks. Let's get right to our big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
And I barely know where to begin. I played for you last hour in the Fast 50, and it's just time to revisit it briefly. Governor Jay Inslee was on MSNBC this morning, on Morning Joe, because, as you know, the governor desperately, desperately wants to be president of the United States. And he launched his campaign on Bill Maher's HBO show, and we heard the plank in the platform upon which he's going to run then.
For you, Bill, I can honestly say we got the best weed in the United States.
Yeah, I just, you know, I thought that was sad. Just sad pandering to the Bill Maher audience and to tout Washington State as having the best weed, which, you know, is it a laugh line for Bill Maher's audience? Yeah, I guess. But does it make Washington look like some shining beacon on the hill? No. You know, it's still a federally illegal drug. We are in violation of federal laws. And I thought it was a sad bit of pandering by the governor. So let's fast forward to today when Jay Inslee, and let's have some context here. A guy was attacked with a hatchet in downtown Seattle last night. 24 hours earlier on the same block, a guy was shot in a drug deal gone bad. The day before that, a 40-year-old woman who was just trying to get her car serviced at an auto dealership in Ballard was brutally raped in the bathroom there by a homeless guy, a guy without standing warrants, a guy who appeared in Seattle Times photos, but Seattle police say, yeah, we have no way to pick him up. And the shameless and shameful homeless industrial complex that makes a fortune on the tax dollars that are given for homelessness, and it's really mostly about drug addiction, giving it to drug-addicted people. And so we have a drug addict guy from Texas, had a meth conviction in Texas, or a meth charge at least, then comes up to Seattle, like everyone around the country wants to do now, because the Puget Sound area is the path of least resistance if you're an addict. So a woman brutally raped in Ballard, contentious head tacks. By the way, Christine Gregoire, I haven't even mentioned this yet today, Christine Gregoire just ripped the head tacks earlier today. She was speaking, GeekWire had the story, but she was speaking at some summit meeting breakfast, and she talked about how horrible the head tax is, how it's punishing the job creators, and to put a tax on jobs is such a backwards approach. And Christine Gregoire is absolutely right about all. Let me just read you a couple of quotes from this. This was at the Mohai Innovation Breakfast. And she said on stage, I object to the policy of a head tax. I firmly believe it is a tax on jobs. I firmly believe it undermines our international and national reputations. And she went on and on and on. She said, Seattle's the process capital of the world. And yet on this, there was no process. How did we arrive at 75 million? I don't know. I really don't. Why did we decide to demonize a major employer in our backyard providing good jobs to the people of our community? So that shows you just how dramatically to the left we've shifted. Gregoire, who was a lousy governor and who gave away so much of our state's revenues to special interest groups, Christine Gregoire, she looks moderate compared to the radicals that are in charge now. So you've got this ridiculous head tax that even, you know, kind of a mainstream Democrat like Christine Gregoire knows is ridiculous. Woman raped, a guy shot, a guy attacked with a hatchet, all in the last 3 days. The highest property crime of any of the top 20 population cities in the country here in Seattle. Drug addicts everywhere, tents everywhere. It's a shame on our city. But man, if you heard Jay Inslee on MSNBC this morning, as a listener said to me, you'd think we were in Xanadu.
We have proven that when you have good, honest, fair, progressive values of an openness, welcoming community, if you take care of your clean air, clean water, if you make big investments in schools, if you focus on clean energy jobs, our clean energy jobs are growing twice as fast as the U.S. economy. What do you get when you have this suite of progressive values? Net neutrality bills, we have the best paid family leave in the United States. You get the best economy in the country, and it sort of blows up this myth that fairness is somehow inimical to economic growth. So I think we are a model for the country, and we're also the most humble state in the nation.
Okay. And man, they were just drooling all over Jay Inslee. They thought he was dreamy. All the panelists on Morning Joe today. But how do you talk about net neutrality when you have homeless people raping women in your most populous city? Tents and tarps everywhere. Highest property crime of any city in the country among the top 20 population. And Jay Inslee just ignores all that, but he wants to be president. And so let's talk about what has gone down. That, you know, the horrible rape. I talked yesterday with Kelly Herron, who would have been the victim of a rapist, but she fought him off in the women's bathroom at Golden Gardens, not that far from where this horrible rape took place on Monday. And she gave me her take on where we are, an attack so similar to the one that you were able to fight off.
You nailed it when you said it's just sickening. I mean, it really just makes me sick to my stomach and to think about how terrifying and how damaging that is long term. And I mean, it's you're never the same after something like that. My heart absolutely goes out to this woman, and it doesn't seem to me to be a problem that's getting better. I'm still, you know, I still continue to run all around the city and in Ballard and other neighborhoods. And it's like, there are tents, like there are people living on tennis courts and on running paths and with their, you know, with their shopping carts just, and you can't distinguish. I mean, this happened to this woman at 7:15 in the morning. My attack was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. This isn't about safety. Like, this isn't about like how to be safer. It's like, we need a solution for the homelessness who are taking over our streets. I mean, you proved, you proved it yourself. Like, it's decriminalized for them. They're not held to the same standards, and we aren't doing anything about it.
No, we're not. And Jay Inslee didn't mention any of that stuff on MSNBC earlier today. The guy who is the accused rapist, he had an outstanding warrant, and he was at one of the city-funded homeless encampments. But they said, we don't check for warrants. Sean Whitcomb with the Seattle Police, he told our news desk that, yeah, we don't want to discourage people from seeking services, even if they're wanted criminals.
I can tell you when we're checking someone for warrants, typically, in most cases, it's the product of a detention. So the idea of us checking someone for a warrant, generally speaking, they are being detained by us. They are not free to leave. And so I think that's a little bit different than someone who is seeking or receiving shelter services.
We're not going to check warrants on people who are seeking or receiving shelter services on the taxpayer dime? As one of my listeners said, we have a place where they can seek shelter services if they have an outstanding warrant. It's called jail. But we let people like this monster run free. This was a preventable attack. And the policies of our politicians, led to this horrible tragedy on Monday morning. And we tried getting Scott Morrow, who's one of the architects of our region's homeless policy, to talk about all of this. He hung up on Nicole this morning. He said he would talk to Cairo Radio, but not to me. Fine. You don't have to. You're free not to talk. But I'm free to let everybody know that you are an architect of the disaster that is our regional homeless policy. Okay, on a much lighter note, next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
I want to welcome a very special guest, the ageless wonder. Wasn't it just yesterday when you were the new kid?
I know.
Now you're the ageless wonder?
I don't know how that happened.
Sue Bird of the Seattle Star. I know, I was the punk who got a talk show 23 years ago. Now I'm the old guy in town. How does that happen?
I don't know. It's awful, though.
How many years with Storm now?
16.
16 years. Mm-hmm. That is incredible.
Yeah, it goes fast.
It does. Life flies by. And you still are playing at an incredibly high level.
Trying.
So for people like me who are trying to still get out and bang around, how do you do it?
You know,
at your advanced age,
I got to say, it's actually, as long as you don't stop, you can kind of just keep going. It's when
That's
you stop.
Secret?
Yeah, I'm not joking. When you stop, then it's so much harder to like get back in shape. So I'm just like not stopping.
But I thought,
see what happens.
I thought when you were trying to play year round, your body said, no, it's getting to be too much now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, that's true. Also, I don't mean games. I don't mean, you know, being, because that's like you're in season literally the whole year.
Yeah.
I don't mean that. I just mean, you know, getting up, working out every day, staying in some sort of shape, kind of doing basketball here and there, keeping it like a part of your regimen. Then you can, I don't know, you just, if you don't get out of shape, you don't have to get in shape. You just kind of stay there.
Well, and there are so many athletes. Like, I've told the story often. I remember when Nolan Ryan was still pitching in his mid-40s.
Yeah.
And I went into the locker room to interview him after a game. And he was on a stationary bike. And he said, not until I'm done with my post-game workout. And I see all these 23, 25-year-old guys, and they're sitting at the buffet, and they're just stuffing their face.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why wouldn't every single guy in this room be emulating the senior citizen who's still performing at the top level? Everybody should take cues from that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Not to get like all serious or anything, but that's another part of it. I think nowadays with like technology and just like different advancements in whether it's nutrition or workout, you know, regimen, ethic, whatever it is, what you're seeing is LeBron James. You know, what you're seeing is maybe myself at 37 still playing at a high level. And what you're also seeing in my experience is the Breanna Stewarts and the Jewel Lloyds of the world, you know, the third and fourth year players, they're asking me.
Yeah.
They're looking at me. They're trying to emulate. So you see them changing their diet or changing out how they work out. And I think all it is, I think pretty soon 33 is not going to, you know, I feel like when you hit 30, from what I remember, is when I first started getting asked, oh, what are you going to do after basketball? Oh,
right.
How many more years?
Yeah.
Now it's not going to happen till like 35, because I think it's all just being rewritten.
Tom Brady is still going. He says he wants to play till his mid-40s.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron's a great example. The most physically gifted athlete maybe on the planet in any sport. And he probably works harder than almost. I mean, I've seen that pregame routine with his personal trainer in the hallway outside the locker room. Not only is he the most physically gifted, but he also probably still outworks 99% of the people.
Yeah, and I think as you get older, what you find is, this isn't rocket science, it's like one of two things goes. Either like your body goes, or maybe your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of comes in all forms, whether it's your love for the game, you just kind of get, I don't know, a little, not bored, but just you're over it. So that's one of two things. But if your mind is still there and sharp, as an older player, and you can kind of check off all the boxes of your physicality part,
sure.
Then, yeah, I don't see why you can't play for. I don't see why you can't be Tom Brady.
So, do you want to be Tom Brady? Do you play another 8 years?
I mean, for them, it's. I feel like I get paid to play basketball. Why would I want to cut that short? Like, why not do that forever?
Yeah.
You know, I think at some point other things are probably going to start to interest me more, which is fair. I just haven't hit that point yet.
Okay. All right. That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
To have a passion like that. And you guys are going to be pretty good this year, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. We have pretty much our core group from last year. Our starting five is back. A team that, you know, we made the playoffs, but we got knocked out in the first round. So we kind of have that experience, but also have that, bad taste in our mouth, but we've added. So we've added two veteran players in the post, which we needed. And then we've added, with our draft pick, a backup point guard. So I don't know. We're kind of becoming a well-rounded team, and we have a new coach. So it's just about putting it together.
It's a backup point guard, though. It's not somebody who's competing for your spot.
I mean, she's pretty good. We're in good hands
now. Well, I was thinking about, you know, Ben Roethlisberger. He was ticked off that the Steelers took a quarterback in the third round.
I saw that.
Were you ticked off when the Storm took a point guard?
No, it's two different sports. I think and this is just outside looking, and I have no idea. I've never played football. But I think for football, because if you're the starting quarterback, you're playing. Like, Jordan and I can do this together. You know, I'm not playing 40 minutes. I never have. I never will. And if anything, at 37, I want my minutes to go down a little bit. You know, to be even more effective in the time I'm out there. So you can really be a teamwork thing, and hopefully I can help her kind of take the reins. I also want this franchise to be successful when I'm done. So I don't know. I'm not saying I agree with Ben, but I feel like football might be different.
Okay, yeah, it might be. I remember you and I did something at the Coliseum about, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. And I remember one of the questions I asked you, who's the greatest women's basketball player ever? And you did not hesitate for a millisecond. You remember your answer?
Probably Lauren Jackson.
Yeah, Lauren Jackson. Who's the greatest point guard ever?
Why are you putting me on the spot?
Because it's a fair question.
I think I don't know. It's tough to say. You know, right now our national team coach is Dawn Staley. So, you know, if I want to be on that team, I have to say her, right?
Yeah. No, I just want an honest answer. You have more assists than anybody in the history of the game.
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, numbers to me don't tell a point guard story, to be honest.
You've won national championships. You've won gold medals. You've won a WNBA championship.
I was going to say, I think winning tells the story.
Okay.
So hopefully I'm up there.
So is that my answer? Am I talking to her? Oh, I love your
modesty. I'm not going to bite. I'm not biting.
I love your modesty. All right, the Storm about to begin their season. Season opener is?
May 20th. So it's Sunday, 6 p.m. It's a bobblehead night, my bobblehead night. So first 2000.
Bird bobblehead here.
Yeah.
It's a nice likeness of you, too.
Yeah, it's my
flattering fourth.
You play long enough, you get four bobbleheads. Nice. So it's my fourth iteration, and it is the best by far.
Okay. All right, so Sunday night, the Storm open their season. And Sue Bird, her 16th year in the league. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Nice job.
Thank you.
The legend. All right, Sue Bird, join us. Thanks for coming by, Sue.
Yeah,
I always enjoy
it.
There she goes. The legend, Sue Bird. She won't say it, but I will. She is the best of all time. Good to have Sue Bird in here with us. And that is your big lead for this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
He's Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Ah, yes, indeed. Look at the old clock on the wall. Time to count down our favorite audio. This is kind of a sad story. Lucas Glover is a PGA golfer. I think it was the U.S. Open that he won a few years ago. And at the Players Championship last weekend, he was not playing well. He came home and his wife started beating him. She told him that if he didn't start playing better, she was going to get violent with him, and it all ended up in a 911 call.
Number 3.
911, what is your emergency?
I've been attacked by my mother-in-law.
Okay, what's your address?
It is.
So this is the wife, and she's kind of lying because she attacked her husband. His mom tried to intervene. This is a grown man, by the way. The 911 called back after the hang-up.
Hi, this is St. John's County Sheriff's Office.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
We got our lines crossed here. This is the most insane one of the bunch.
Okay, can you tell me what's going on there?
Yeah, my wife, who called you, my mom, and now she's trying to blame it on my mother.
Okay, does she need to ask you to come out there and look at her? Okay. We still have deputies that are coming out there just to make sure that everything is okay there.
Well, when the deputies arrived, they found that indeed the wife had gone after the PGA golfer and that she said that it's because he was playing poorly. And she does not want to be married to a lousy PGA golfer. So I hope they can pull it together, those two. All right, at number 2 in our awesome audio, I played this one a little bit earlier on the big show today. This was Joel McHale, our good buddy, my former basketball teammate. Joel McHale, he was caught by TMZ paparazzi, and they asked him about his favorite team, the Seahawks, and Richard Sherman's departure.
Number two.
He was part of bringing a Super Bowl to Seattle, a
right.
Super Bowl win. How could you... There should be statues erected.
Is it going to be hurting? Is it going to hurt you, though, to see him in the 49ers uniform?
It will be weird seeing him in the 49ers uniform, but you were never going to forget the leadership and what he did on the field. And I hope that his Achilles heel is fully recovered.
Right. So the 12th man, they should cut him a break, and they should still respect him when he steps back into
Seattle.
They
will go, when he steps back into Seattle, it will be like Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
I'm not sure that's exactly the reception that Sherm's going to get, but we'll see. And then at number one, the president is always complaining about fake news. He has a pretty legitimate complaint today, as a bunch of networks tweeted out that he called immigrants animals. Here's what the president said.
We have people coming into the country, trying to come in. We're stopping a lot of them. But we're taking people out of the country. You wouldn't believe how bad these people are. These aren't people. These are animals.
Okay, so CNN, ABC, NBC News, CBS, C-SPAN, they all tweeted out that the president called immigrants animals. Only one problem. It is 100% fake news, because I'm going to play for you in context. He was responding to a sheriff in California who was asking him specifically about the murderous M13 gang members.
Number one.
MS-13 gang member, I know about. If they don't reach a certain threshold, I cannot tell ICE about them.
We have people coming into the country, trying to come in. We're stopping a lot of them. But we're taking people out of the country. You wouldn't believe how bad these people are. These aren't people. These are animals.
Does the context change things just a little bit? He wasn't talking about all illegal immigrants in this country. He was talking specifically about the murderous MS-13 gang that is made up of illegals. So in this case, maybe the fake news claim is accurate by the president. Those are our favorite sound bites of the day.
Those are Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day on 97.3 Cairo FM.
And coming up next, we will tell you what is today's sign. The end is near. Stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. All right, before I get out of here and head out into the afternoon, it's time for today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Let's start at a McDonald's. That's where they have the Happy Meals. But this guy wasn't very happy. There's a father in North Carolina. He caused a scene at his local McDonald's. His son was in the hospital suffering from a meth overdose. And the father believes that the kid bought the meth from one of the McDonald's cashiers. And so the father went into the Max. And he had his phone rolling, and he wanted the world to know that this cashier was an alleged meth dealer on the side.
What's up, man? I'm on my way up there to see Creed at the hospital. I'm on my way up there to see Creed at the hospital. He's sick, coming down from all that meth you've been giving. Have you got any that we can take up there and give to him?
Sure, buddy.
It's only started. You hear what I'm saying? You hear me? Yeah. You mother! You give my 18-year-old son drugs, you gonna get it, boy. 44 years old, you won't give an 18-year-old meth.
So the guy behind the counter, the cashier, is 44 years old, and that's who the father believes was his kid's meth dealer. Now, there were some parents who got upset because they had kids and they heard the dad swearing. Then there were others defending the dad for coming to confront someone who put his kid in the hospital.
McDonald's. Yeah, well, won't you drug test them?
Okay, but there's children.
Yeah, they don't need to be in here eating that back there cooking the food for them. Call them.
I agree with you. It's all right. My kids come here, you stand up for it.
My son's at the hospital. We're up there having a detox and they're taking to a drug rehab because he's got him hooked on meth. He's in here cooking everybody's food. Call him. He's in here. You heard what the lady said. She said, stand up for my son. That's what she just said. Is that not what you said, ma'am? That's what she said. Meth head.
The manager wanted the guy out. The customer with the kids told the guy, yes, stand up for your kid. I don't mind. And so he posted the guy's name on Facebook, the 44-year-old McD's cashier, and he wanted to out him as what he believes is his kid's meth dealer. Next up in today's sign, I tell you what, man, body cameras and the cameras they have in the cop cars when they do a traffic stop, those are the good cop's best friends. Because I have a couple stories of people wildly accusing cops of wrongdoing, and then the police cams were released, the video, and it proved that the citizens lodging the complaints were just flat-out liars. Let's start with this one. The Reverend Jared Moultrie is president of the NAACP in South Carolina. He said that he was racially profiled during a recent traffic stop. And so one of the local television stations got the video of that traffic stop. And nothing of the sort happened.
Register, try not to drive the car no more until you get the proper documentation, because this registration has to come back to 1992, okay, GMC truck. Yes, yeah. Even in the system is that too. But what I'm saying, you got to have the proper registration and everything and insurance and all that stuff to actually indicate that that plate comes back to this motor vehicle, okay?
Tell you what, sometimes I feel like I need subtitles for the real deep South Carolina accents. Although on radio, subtitles wouldn't work that well anyway. But anyway, what he's telling the guy is, Your tabs are, they're set up with another vehicle, not the vehicle you're driving, and the reverend says, well, that's an honest mistake.
Because when I run the plate, it's still coming back to this. It's not coming back to your car.
Okay, I understand that, but look, I just bought the car the other day. I switched the tags.
Well, you probably need to go to DMV and ask them how come it's not registered in the state of South Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles. It's still coming back to that truck.
Okay, so the cop is just being as polite as can be to this guy and just saying, yeah, go to the DMV and straighten it out. But we have a different car set up with these tabs than what you're driving.
In your motor vehicle, that actually matches the car that you're operating on South Carolina highways in order for it to be legal to operate on South Carolina highways. They told you wrong, okay?
All right.
All right. Other than that, there's your driver's license. Just make sure you wear your seatbelt at all times while operating the motor vehicle on South Carolina highways and drive safe, okay?
Okay, couldn't have been nicer. The pastor went on social media right after getting home and wrote, tonight I was racially profiled by a Timminsville officer because I was driving a Mercedes-Benz and going home in a nice neighborhood. And then he made some other allegations. I mean, it's this long Facebook post about the cop, and the good reverend is just a lying man of God because there was nothing in the actual encounter video that would suggest that there was any racial profiling or anything untoward that happened. And that's not the only story along those lines that I have in the news today. A woman who's on the New Jersey Board of Education, she is now facing calls to resign because she got pulled over by a cop and she, too, accused the cop of being a skinhead. And once again, the encounter was quite polite. The woman, her name is Stephanie Lawson Muhammad. She's a member of the Board of Education in her town. And she was pulled over for speeding, going 37 in a 25 when she was taking her kid to school.
is on the other line.
Ma'am, you can put...
talking to my husband.
Okay, you can just put that back in the car, ma'am. I saw when you were hanging out the window. You didn't need to keep your arm out the window.
I wanted you to know that I have a driver's license.
Okay. Are you sure you're okay to drive, ma'am?
I'm okay to drive. My child is at home and she has park today.
Okay.
I need to get her to school.
Okay, well, I'll get this done as quick as possible, okay, ma'am?
Okay, polite as can be. The woman's daughter had to get out of the car and walk the rest of the way to school. And it turns out she didn't have up-to-date insurance. And she didn't have her driver's license with her.
Ma'am, I wrote you a summons for the speed. I also issued one for failing to have a valid insurance card in your possession, okay? What you're going to do with that summons is a mandatory court appearance, because what they're going to need to do is make sure that you had insurance on the date and time that you were stopped. Okay, the only thing they're going to do is just check.
He will send the insurance.
The ticket's already written, ma'am.
She has her husband on speakerphone in the car, so that's the other voice you hear there. And the cop says, yeah, I've already written the ticket, so I can't tear it up. And she said, well, can my husband just text us a picture of the valid insurance card?
So what you can do
is... doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
My husband is telling you right now, because for me to have to go to court, now you want me to go to court? I don't want to go to court. I have insurance. He can text you a picture of it right now.
Okay, ma'am, the ticket's already written. I can't void a summons once it's already written.
I'll call Sheena.
That's fine. You're more than welcome to do that, ma'am.
Skinhead cop.
No! Right there. She called him a skinhead cop because she didn't have a valid head cop, she said. Well, now there is widespread community call for this woman to resign from the school board. And she also, in various points in the video, she talked about how she's scared of cops. You guys hurt black people. And the cop couldn't have been more polite throughout the encounter with her. So I'm so glad that we've got these cams, that we have these videos of these encounters. Because what we've found is, yeah, are there some bad cops? Yeah, and I'm glad if we have video of that, too. But I'm glad if there's video that proves that the people they pulled over are, you know, liars. Just because they're ticked off that they're getting a ticket.
I won't ever leave. You want me to stay.
One of the first 45s I ever bought right here. I got to get out of here. I've said everything that I have to say for today. Show is coming up next. I'm going to go get ready for my kid's wedding. So I'll see you back here Monday, high noon.
Wait a minute. I'm not finished. I'm not finished, fake news.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.